This is David Cruse with the Comstock Report. NAFTA rebranded as the USMCA down, what next? They admitted to using a lot of TPP language in the USMCA. Trump wants bilaterals and not comprehensive trade blocks. NAFTA has zero tariffs for ag commodities, and the USMCA does too. We got what we had before, which was a relief. Canada was the largest U.S. dairy export market, and after conceding a bit more market access, will be slightly bigger still. This had an immediate impact in the Quebec's provincial election Monday, home to many Canadian dairy farmers where Trudeau's party lost control. Ottawa will look to compensate them for the loss of conceding tariffs. I think that they were lucky that this is all that they conceded to get included in the USMCA. Dispute panels were kept in the agreement and tariffs on autos were avoided. I think Canadian negotiators did a good job. They were not going to come away unscathed. The next problem is going to be how well assurances that steel tariffs will be negotiated away by the time this agreement is signed are kept. This was a side assurance given to both Mexico and Canada that while kept separate, they would find a way to end the steel tariffs. Mexico and Canada expect this assurance to be kept. My experience with these things is that they may well eliminate the steel tariffs, but for the cost of another piece of flesh. These tariffs, put on under the guise of being justified for national security reasons, are unfair. They were meant as leverage, and they worked. They will also be a source of extreme ill will, if not ended on reasonable terms, whatever that might be. Trump was already doing what he always does, bragging about how the steel tariffs were not removed. He separated Mexico and Canada in the negotiation, and steel tariffs may bring them back together again. There was a provision in the USMCA intended to prevent Mexico and Canada from aligning with China in a trade war. Trump is not going to go after China next. They are beginning talks with Japan. Japan has been trying to politely accommodate Trump from day one, with Prime Minister Abe attempting to hug the president's belt buckle, racking up frequent flyer miles to the U.S. They have a trade surplus with the U.S., and we all know what Trump thinks of those. Japan ran a $69 billion trade surplus with the United States in 2017, nearly the same as Mexico at $72 billion. Japan has been working on it, stepping up purchases of military equipment. Trump says that the U.S. defends Japan, and he is going to send them a bill that could sour ties. He says that they will be talking military and trade. Japan has invested significant sums here, correctly claiming to have created many U.S. jobs. Trump imposed tariffs on Japanese steel and aluminum and told them not to respond. Unlike others who imposed counter-tariffs in retaliation, they did as Trump told them and took the tariffs for their team without hitting back. Trump also has threatened tariffs on Japanese autos, to which they would have to respond in kind. Trump did promise not to impose tariffs on Japanese autos while they conducted talks, but like with Canada, they are threatened if he doesn't get the deal that he wants from Japan. Japan has been attempting to accommodate the U.S. on trade in part because of the bigger picture. The U.S. is withdrawing from the world order as part of its America First foreign policy. Japan wants to be second behind America First. The chances for conflict with China are going to increase, and Japan wants the U.S. to have their back. Can they trust Trump? Japan is an extremely important customer for U.S. ag exports, particularly beef and pork. Japan is the fourth largest trading partner for agriculture and bought $11.9 billion in U.S. ag products in 2017. Japan wanted to deal with opening their market further through TPP, but Trump has demanded a bilateral agreement. There was great benefit for U.S. pork and beef in TPP. Japan made the opening offer of matching TPP terms in a bilateral. Good luck with that. It would not fit Trump's narrative for a win just to match TPP. Right now, both Australia and Canada get better terms for beef and pork than we do with Japan. They have a zero tariff on Australian and Canadian wheat, too, blocking U.S. wheat. That's not going to work much longer. The beef industry has so far pretty much ducked the bullets flying from the trade war. While there is risk here with Japan, there should be great opportunity, too, to expand U.S. beef market share in Japan. Japan's 38.5% tariff on U.S. beef needs to go. What the U.S. will want to avoid is forcing Japan to get closer to China. They'll want to make it a part of any bilateral agreement with Japan, not to help China in our trade war with them, same as was put into the USMCA. You've been listening to the Comstock Report. For more information on marketing opportunities, visit us in Royal Iowa online at Comstock.com or call 712-227-1110.